Indeed, that scripture is the supreme revelation about the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in the Brahma Samhita, it is essential among the Vaishnava literatures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu copied the Brahma Samhita, and then with great pleasure he went to a place known as Ananta Padmanabha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for 2 or 3 days at Ananta Padmanabha and visited the temple there. Then, in great ecstasy, he went to see the temple of Sri Janardhan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced at the Sri Janardhan for 2 days. He then went to the bank of the Payasvini River and visited the temple of Shankar Narayan. He saw the monastery known as Sringiri Math, the abode of Acharya Shankar. And then he visited Matsyatirtha, a place of pilgrimage, and took bath in the river Tungabhadra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at Udupi, the place of Madhvacharya, where the philosophers known as Tattvavadis resided. There he saw the deity of Lord Krishna and became mad with ecstasy. While at the Udupi monastery, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw dancing Gopal, the most beautiful deity. This deity appeared to Madhvacharya in a dream. Madhvacharya had somehow or other acquired the deity of Krishna from a heap of Gopi Chandan that had been transported in a boat. Madhvacharya brought this dancing Gopal deity to Udupi and installed him in the temple. To date, the followers of Madhvacharya, known as the Tattvavadis, worship this deity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received great pleasure in seeing this beautiful form of Gopal. For a long time, he danced and chanted in ecstatic love. When the Tattvavadi Vaishnavas first saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they considered him a Mayavadi sannyasi. Therefore, they did not talk to him. Later, after seeing Mahaprabhu in ecstatic love, they were struck with wonder. Then, considering him a Vaishnava, they gave him a nice reception. Mahaprabhu could understand that the Tattvavadis were very proud of their Vaishnavism. He therefore smiled and began to speak to them. Considering them proud, Mahaprabhu began his discussion. The chief acharya of the Tattvavadi community was very learned in the revealed scriptures. So Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya found a deity of Gopal dancing and a big block of Gopi Chandan. And so he installed it. To this day, his followers still worship that deity. His followers are known as the Tattvavadis. And when Mahaprabhu arrived, they thought he was a Mayavadi sannyasi, but they didn't. They started ignoring him. But then when they saw him dancing and chanting and ecstatic love, then they reconsidered and then gave him a nice reception. But Mahaprabhu, he saw that they were proud of their Vaishnava. So now he is questioning the chief, the main acharya. Mahaprabhu said, "I do not know very well the aim of life and how to achieve it. Please tell me the best ideal for humanity and how to attain it." The acharya replied, "When the activities of the 4 castes and the 4 ashrams are dedicated to Krishna, they constitute the best means whereby one can attain the highest goal of life. When one dedicates the duties of an ashram dharma to Krishna, he is eligible for 5 kinds of liberation. Thus he is transferred to the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. This is the highest goal of life and the verdict of all revealed scriptures." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "According to the verdict of the Shastras, the process of hearing and chanting is the best means to attain loving service to Krishna. This process entails hearing, chanting, remembering the holy name, form, pastimes and qualities, and entourage of the Lord, offering service according to time, place, and performer, worshipping the deity, offering prayers, always considering oneself the eternal servant of Krishna, making friends with him, and dedicating everything to him. These nine items of devotional service, when directly offered to Krishna, constitute the highest attainment of life. That is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. When one comes to the platform of loving service to Lord Krishna by executing these nine processes, beginning with hearing and chanting, he has attained a fifth platform of success in the limit of life's goals. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the name. He also laughs, cries, and becomes agitated and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. In every revealed scripture, there is condemnation of fruitive activities. Is it advised everywhere to give up engagement in fruitive activities? For no one can attain the highest goal of life by executing it. Occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults and give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Lord. The person who does so is considered a first class. So, the Tathavadis, the Acharya of the Tathavadis, when asked by Mahaprabhu what the ultimate goal of life is, he replied that by following the system of Varnashram Dharma and executing that and dedicating it to the Krishna, will give the highest goal of life. And he considered the highest goal of life to be the five types of liberation. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, and I shall deliver you from sinful reactions. Do not fear. That was from Bhagavad Gita. As long as one is not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of Vedic injunction. So Mahaprabhu is using this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam to indicate that only if one hasn't been able to go past fruitive activities. Pure devotees reject the five types of liberation. Indeed, for them, liberation is very insignificant because they see it as hellish. Pure devotees always reject the five kinds of liberation, which include living in the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, possessing the same opulences as those possessed by the Lord, having the same bodily features as the Lord, associating with the Lord and merging into the body of the Lord. The pure devotees do not accept these benedictions without service to the Lord. It is very difficult to give up material opulences, land, children, society, friends, riches, wife, or the blessings of the goddess of fortune. These things are desired even by great demigods. But King Bharat did not desire such things, and this was quite befitting his position, because for a pure devotee whose mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord, even liberation emerging into the existence of the Lord is insignificant. And what to speak of material opportunities. A person who is a devotee of Lord Narayana is not afraid of a hellish condition because he considers it the same as elevation to the heavenly planets or even liberation. The devotees of Lord Narayana are accustomed to seeing all these things on the same level. Both liberation and fruitive activity are rejected by devotees. But you are trying to establish these things as life's goal and the process for attaining it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued speaking to the Tathavadi Acharya. Seeing that I am a mendicant in the renounced order of life, you have been playing with me in a duplicitous way. You are not actually describing the process and ultimate objective. Upon hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Acharya of the Tathavadi Sampradaya became very much ashamed. Upon observing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rigid faith in Vaishnavism, he was struck with wonder. The Tathavadi replied, "What you have said is certainly factual. That is the conclusion of the revealed scriptures of the Vaishnavas. Still, whatever Madhvacharya has established as the formula for our party, we practice as party policy." Mahaprabhu said, "Both the fruitive worker and the speculative philosopher are considered non-devotees. We see both elements present in your sampradaya. The only qualification that I see in your sampradaya as you accept the form of the Lord as truth. The Navi was saying, well, the good thing I see is that you actually worship the personal form of the Lord, that you're not a Mayavadi. He says, but other than that, you know, you're promoting speculative philosophy and fruitive activity. So that's not devotion. Then Mahaprabhu, thus Mahaprabhu broke the pride of the Tattvavadis to pieces. He then went to the holy place known as Kalguna Tirtha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, next went to Tritakuta, and after seeing the Vishala deity there, he went to the holy place known as Panchaparsha Tirtha. After seeing Panchaparsha, Mahaprabhu went to Gokarna. While there, he visited the temple of Lord Shiva. And then he went to Vaipayani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crown jewel of all sannyasis, then went to Suparaka Tirtha. Mahaprabhu then visited the town of Kolhapura, where he saw the goddess of fortune in the temple of Shira Bhagavati, and saw Langa Ganesh in another temple known as Kora Parvati. From there, Mahaprabhu went to Pandarapura, where he happily saw the temple of Vitatala Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in various ways, as usual. A Brahmin, seeing him in ecstatic love, was very much pleased and invited the Lord to his home for lunch. The Brahmin offered Mahaprabhu food with great respect and love. After finishing his lunch, the Lord received auspicious news. Mahaprabhu received word that Sri Rangapuri, one of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, was present in that village at the home of the Brahmin. Hearing this news, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately went to see Sri Rangapuri at the Brahmin's house. Upon entering, the Lord saw him sitting there. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sri Rangapuri, he immediately offered him obeisances and ecstatic love, falling flat to the ground. Symptoms of transcendental transformation were visible: tears, jubilation, trembling, and perspiration. Upon seeing Mahaprabhu in such an ecstatic mood, Sri Rangapuri said, "Your Holiness, please get up." He said, "You are certainly related to Madhavendra Puri, without whom there is no fragrance of ecstatic love." After saying this, Sri Rangapuri lifted Mahaprabhu up and embraced him. They embraced shoulder to shoulder and they both began to cry in ecstasy. After some moments, they came to their senses and became patient. Mahaprabhu then informed Sri Rangapuri about his relationship with Ishwara Puri. They were both inundated in wonderful ecstasy of love. Finally, they sat down and respectfully began to converse. In this way, they discussed topics about Lord Krishna continually for 5 to 7 days. Out of curiosity, Sri Rangapuri asked Mahaprabhu about his birthplace, and the Lord informed him that it was Navadvipam. Sri Rangapuri had formerly gone to Navadvip with Sri Madhavendra Puri, and therefore remembered the incidents that had taken place there. As soon as Sri Rangapuri recalled Navadvip, he also recalled accompanying Sri Madhavendra Puri to the house of Jagannath Mishra. But Rangapuri had taken lunch. He even remembered the taste of an unprecedented curry made of banana flowers. Sri Rangapuri also remembered the wife of Jagannath Mishra. She was very devoted and chaste. And as for her affection, she was exactly like the mother of the universe. He also remembered how Sri Jagannath Mishra's wife, Sachimati, was expert in cooking, and recalled that she was very affectionate toward the sannyasis and fed them exactly like her own sons. Sri Rangapuri also remembered that one of her deserving sons had accepted the renounced order at a very young age. His name was Shankarayan. Sri Rangapuri informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the sannyasi named Shankarayan had attained perfection in that holy place, Pandarapura. Mahaprabhu said, "In my previous ashram, Sankarayana was my brother and Jagannath Mishra was my father." After finishing his talks with Mahaprabhu, Sri Rangapuri started for Dwarka Dham. Sri Rangapuri departed for Dwarka. After Sri Rangapuri departed for Dwarka, Mahaprabhu remained with the Brahmin at Pandarapura for 4 more days. He took his bath in the Bhima River and visited the temple of Vitatala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next went to the bank of the Krishna Venba River, where he visited many holy places and temples of various gods. The Brahmin community there was composed of pure devotees. They regularly studied a book entitled Krishna Karnamrita, which was composed by Bilva Mangal Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear the book Krishna Karnamrita, and with great eagerness he had it copied and took it with him. There is no comparison to the Krishna Karnamrita within the three worlds. By studying this book, one is elevated to the knowledge of pure devotional service to Krishna. One who constantly reads Krishna Karnamrita can fully understand the beauty and melodious taste of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. The Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita were two books that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be most valuable jewels. He therefore took them with him on his return trip. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at the banks of the river Tapi. After bathing there, he went to Mahishmatipura. While there, he saw many holy places on the banks of the river Narmada. The Lord next arrived at Dhanas Tirtha, where he took his bath in the river Nirvindya. He then arrived at Rishamukha Mountain and then went to Dandakarayana. Dandakarayana is a spacious tract of land which begins north of Khandesh and extends up to the southern Ahmadanagara through Nashika and Aurangaba. The Godavari River flows through this tract of land, and there is a great forest there where Lord Ramachandra lives. Within the Dandakarayana forest, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited a place called Saptatala. The 7 palm trees there were very old, very bulky, and very high. Upon seeing the 7 palm trees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them. As a result, they all returned to Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual world. After the 7 palm trees had departed for Vaikuntha, everyone was astonished to see that they were gone. The people then began to say, "This sannyasi called Mahaprabhu must be an incarnation of Lord Ramachandra. Only Lord Ramachandra has the power to send 7 palm trees to the spiritual Vaikuntha planet." Eventually, Mahaprabhu arrived at the lake known as Pampa, where he took his bath. He then went to a place called Panchavati, where he rested. Mahaprabhu then visited Nashika, where he saw the deity of Trayambaka, Lord Shiva. He then went to Brahmagiri and then to Kushavarta, the source of the river Godavari. After visiting many other holy places, Lord went to Saptagoda Godavari, and at last he returned to Vidyanagara. When Ramanandarai heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, he was very pleased and immediately went to see him. When Ramanandarai fell flat, touching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately raised him to his feet and embraced him. In great ecstasy, they both began to cry, unless their minds were slackened. After some time, they regained their senses and sat together to discuss various subjects. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Ramanandarai a vivid description of his travels to the holy places, and told him how he had acquired 2 books, named Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita. The Lord delivered the books to Ramananda Roy. The Lord said, whatever you have told me about devotional service is all supported by these two books. Ramananda Rai was very happy to receive these books. He tasted their contents along with the Lord and made a copy of each. News spread in the village of Vidyanagar about the arrival of Mahaprabhu, and everyone came to see him at once. After seeing the people who gathered there, Sri Ramananda Rai returned to his own home. At noon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up to take his lunch. Sri Ramananda Rai returned at night, and he and the Lord discussed topics concerning Krishna. Thus they passed the night. Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed Krishna day and night. Thus they passed from 5 to 7 days in great happiness. Ramananda Rai said, my dear Lord, with your permission, I have already written a letter to the king with great humility. The king has already given me an order to return to Jagannath Puri, and I am making arrangements to do this. Mahaprabhu then said, it is for this purpose alone that I have returned. I want to take you with me to Jagannath Puri. Ramananda Rai said, my dear Lord, it is better that you proceed to Jagannath Puri alone, because with me there will be many horses, elephants, soldiers, all roaring tumultuously. I shall make arrangements within 10 days. Following you, I shall go to Nilachala without delay. Nilachala is Jagannath Puri. Giving orders to Ramananda Rai to come to Nilachala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for Jagannath Puri with great pleasure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned by the same road that he had formerly taken to Vijayanagar, and all the Vaishnavas along the way saw him again. Wherever Mahaprabhu went, the holy name of Lord Hari was vibrated. Seeing this, the Lord became very happy. When the Lord reached Alalanath, he sent his assistant, Krishnadas, ahead to call for Nityananda Prabhu and other personal associates. As soon as Nityananda Prabhu received the news of the arrival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately got up and started out to see him. Indeed, he was very impatient in great ecstasy. Sri Nityananda Rai, Jagadananda, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda all became ecstatic in their happiness, and dancing along the way, they went to meet the Lord. Gopinath Acharya also went in a very happy mood. They all went to meet the Lord and finally contacted him along the way. The Lord also was filled with ecstatic love and he embraced them all. Out of their love they began to cry with pleasure. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also went to see the Lord with great pleasure and he met him on the beach by the sea. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord pulled him up and embraced him. Sarvabhauma cried in great ecstatic love. Then the Lord, accompanied by them all, went to the temple of Jagannath. Due to ecstatic love experienced upon visiting Lord Jagannath, inundations of trembling, perspiration, tears swept the body of Mahaprabhu. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted. At that time, all the attendants and priests came to offer him a garland and the remnants of Lord Jagannath's food. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became patient after receiving the garland and prasadam of Lord Jagannath. All the servants of the Lord met Mahaprabhu with great pleasure. Afterwards, Kasi Mishra came and fell down at the feet of the Lord, and the Lord respectfully embraced him. Sarvabhauma Acharya then took the Lord with him to his home, saying, today's luncheon will be at my house. In this way he invited the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought various types of food remnants that had been left by Lord Jagannath. He brought all kinds of cakes and condensed milk preparations. Accompanied by his associate, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sarvabhauma's house and there took his noon lunch. After offering food to Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made him lie down to rest, and he personally began to massage the legs of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sent Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take his lunch, and the Lord remained that night in his home just to please him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates remained with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They all stayed awake the entire night as the Lord spoke of his pilgrimage. The Lord told Sarvabhauma, I traveled to many holy places, but I could not find a Vaishnava as good as you anywhere. Mahaprabhu continued, I received much pleasure from the talks of Ramananda Roy. The Bhattacharya replied, for this reason I requested you meet him. Thus I have ended my narration about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage, describing it in brief. It cannot be described very broadly. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited. No one can properly describe his activities, yet I make an attempt out of greed. But this reveals my shamelessness. Whoever hears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage to various holy places attains the riches of very deep, ecstatic love. Please hear how the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and devotion, giving up envy of the Lord, everyone chant the holy name of Lord Hari. In this age of Kali, there is no genuine religious principles other than those established by Vaishnava devotees and the Vaishnava scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. The pastimes of the Lord are just like an unfathomable ocean. It is not possible for me to enter into it. Simply standing on the shore, I am but touching the water. The more one hears the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith, analytically studying them, Yateka Vichare. What does that mean? This verse. Chaitanya Charita Shraya Shuni Yejana Yateka Vichare Tatapaya Premadana.
As much as you consider.
He's saying analytically studies them.
Yeah, vichar means analyze or consider.
The more one attains ecstatic riches of love of God. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in his footsteps.